Welcome to this Happy Home Podcast. I'm Arlene Pellicane. Are you ever frustrated by spilled juice, way too much laundry, and mundane days? Valerie Warner, author of Grumpy Mom Takes a Holiday, is here to help us fight for joy in the midst of motherhood. I'm so glad you've joined me today. You are in for a huge treat. You may already know my guest because you own one of her prayer journals. Several months ago, I received a really pretty paper prayer journal, and on the back of it says Val Marie Paper. And Valerie Warner of Val Marie Paper is with us today. She started making these journals after she couldn't find what she was looking for when she was pregnant and she wanted a prayer journal. So in the fall of 2013, about 2 weeks before her first daughter was born, she started selling a six-month prayer journal. And I guess she was not the only one looking for one of these, because since then she has sold more than 55,000 prayer journals. How cool is that? Valerie and her husband Tyler have two beautiful little girls. They live in Cajun country in Louisiana. And here's our conversation about her new book, Grumpy Mom Takes a Holiday. Do you not love that title? And you know what? If you want more joy in motherhood, then you need an escape. As Val says, not from motherhood, but from the world's definition of it. Let's get started. You've got this book, Grumpy Mom Takes a Holiday, you know, so I'm kind of a kindred spirit because I have 31 days to becoming a happy mom. So it's like we're both working from the different angle here. And I know that sometimes we wake up as moms and we're like Mary Poppins, we've got this. And then we go to bed, we're Cruella de Vil, we're like, we're spent, you know, it's like, what has happened to us? So tell me a little bit about, you know, why did you decide to write this book, Grumpy Mom Takes a Holiday?
I wrote it because I'm actually a melancholy personality, just by nature. And I really feel like I have to fight for joy in just in everyday life in general, but just raising toddlers and babies that are unpredictable. Like, there's just so many opportunities for us to go down a negative path, or, you know, think our life is just over because we can't wash our hair for 3 days, or, you know, like, we can just take those things so you know, just down a negative path that's way deeper than just the sentiment of my hair's dirty. I wrote it for myself, just my own experience of what God showed me through different stereotypes and very subtle things that I felt like were harboring these negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, there's probably so many moms who, you know, they feel like they have to work so hard to make these changes. Mm-hmm. And really, if they just knew, like, these things are maybe where what's harboring lies, like, if we just knew that, it would be so much easier. That's pretty much why I wrote the book.
What was one of the things that you found out, like, as you're talking about that, what was kind of one of those harboring things that you realized, oh, that's why? What, just kind of walk us through one of those clicks in your mind.
One for me was the idea that you moms couldn't go to the bathroom alone. And I did not even notice this for probably a year or two, and I considered it a compliment that my daughter wanted to always be with me. But as soon as I started to hear that as like in a negative way, I would go in there and be like, why can't they just leave me alone for 1 minute? And it was weird because it didn't bother me until I knew it was something that should bother me.
That is excellent, because many times we're thinking these things as like, who put that thought in our mind?
Right. Yeah, like, exactly.
This is just the stage. We'll have the rest of our lives to be alone in the bathroom. So we might as well enjoy this phase now. You know, one of the statements you made, joy is something we have to fight for. I love that. And I think that many times we think, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. That just should be something that happens when I feel like so happy, or I feel this. And yet, kind of unpack that a little bit. When you say joy is something we have to fight for, what are you trying to tell the reader?
I guess I want them to know that this is not going to be like the default of where our minds go. It's going to be something that we have to choose in our mind. And when we do, it's going to be like a more natural thing, but it's not something that's just going to happen without us being intentional about it. Like, we don't just veer off into like the path God has for us. Right. We have to intentionally head that direction.
Yeah, you don't drift towards joy.
Yes, yes.
You have to decide, like, I have this moment where I could either get really upset or I could say, you know what, it's going to be okay. I'm going to choose joy. And that's hard in that moment. Tell us a little bit. You've got two little girls. So now that you've written this book, you know, it's funny because now you've got it out there. Okay, Grumpy Mom's going to take a holiday. You know, do your girls ever go, hey, Grumpy Mom is coming out again? like, do they have any things like that that they talk about?
Yeah, you know, my oldest definitely, like, we talk about it as, like, she knows it's a book and everything.
And how old is she?
She is 5.5.
Okay.
And she was actually the one who at some point during this journey, she was like, Mama, you're a different mama. Aww. And I'll even ask her now, like, do you think, you know, like, how do you think mom, like, do you think I'm a happy mom? Or because I want that to come across. Like I talk about that in the book at some point, like seeing her so happy that she made me happy made me pause and think, why is this so crazy to her? Like, why is she so shocked to hear this? And I think like she doesn't point it out as much as she could, to be honest.
Yes.
she probably could use that against me. Yeah.
I remember reading that in your book when she was like, you were talking about it was nighttime and she had the fluffy flamingo blanket and she's like, Mama, you're a different mama. Like, I think that's beautiful. And for us as moms to realize, you know what, if we're not parenting in a way that we want, that's the best, and all of us have room to improve, for us to say, you know what, tomorrow is a new day and I could parent more joyfully. I could parent perhaps more stricter. Some of us have to get stricter. Some of us have to get looser, you know, so it's wherever you're at, but that you can make a positive change for your child to look at you and say, you're a different mama. And you took that in a positive way, you know, when she said that.
She had to clarify for me because I wasn't sure, but yes. Because I had just fussed at her about something, but basically the tone that I had was so different than whenever I had fussed at her in the past that she, even that correction, she felt love in that. So that really was a big moment for us.
And tell us about the role that prayer has played in your life. I know you create these beautiful prayer journals, and it's so much a part of the DNA of your family. How has prayer, you know, really shaped you and helped you to kind of let go of that grumpy mom?
You know, it's like I tell people, I pray probably more than I did before I had kids, which sounds crazy, but it's more in those, it's not just one time in the morning, it's throughout my day. And it's been really neat because whenever I do have those frustrated moments, I will sometimes just put my head down and, you know, the girls are there, so they're seeing all this, but I just put my head down and I'll just pray and I'll say, Father, you're going to have to help me because I want to get frustrated right now. And they're able to see that Mama makes mistakes. Mama has to go to God too. And I think like for all of us, it is just a reminder that this is not about being perfect and like totally, just like fixing your motherhood in a way. It is a daily process that we're going to keep coming back to God. And prayer is the cornerstone of that because we have to go to Him for it. We cannot do this by ourselves. And sometimes that looks like actual praying. And sometimes that just looks like, you know, redirecting my mind on thoughts of Scripture and knowing His truth. But yeah, it's all rooted in going back to Him for that.
And, you know, my kids are older now, so I have a high schooler, a junior higher, and elementary school, boy, girl, girl. But I remember the days when they were all under 6 years old, and it was just like, oh, my word, I have a diaper bag and an extra outfit, and, you know, we've got a suitcase, and we're just leaving the house to go to Walmart. You know, it's just like such a time. So give encouragement as you have your two beautiful girls. Give encouragement to that mom who just feels overwhelmed, you know, like so many sippy cups and so much happening. And what kind of advice would you give to that mom?
I would just encourage her to see beyond that, like see the deeper layer of that, because I think that's where the stereotypes of the world comes in, is that, you know, we think about always wearing yoga pants or, you know, going to Target alone is like a holiday or all these things that we just hear, and it's like this surface level paper thin version of motherhood. and thinking about the sippy cups and different things like that, the crumbs on the floor, like crumbs are a big thing for me because I think I'm on my hands and knees. And don't get me wrong, I don't clean the floors after every meal.
Right.
But sometimes you feel like I have done this 3 times today. This is exhausting. But it's whenever we're thinking about those just very surface level things of motherhood, it we could just go down a negative path very quickly because there's no depth to it. There's no, we're not going to find our joy in strictly like picking up crumbs. We're going to find our joy in knowing that we are serving our family, knowing that the Lord put us in that family and we are the moms of our kids because He called us to that. Like those things are going to be where we find our joy. So I think it just has to be that we take those thoughts deeper and just see beyond just the shallow parts of motherhood, if I can say that. That makes sense.
Love that. So just realizing, okay, what I am focused on right now is really inconsequential. Like it does not matter. Like it doesn't matter whether this diaper is this brand or if this is picked up or not picked up. What really matters is you are becoming a human being made in God's image. And I am part of that. Like I'm a huge part of shaping this human being. And then all of a sudden now you have purpose and your
right.
life's greatest purpose isn't shopping alone like you talked about. I really like
right.
that.
Right. Yes, exactly.
I love that. You know, how does social media play into this? Because I know you have, you know, a large following and people are looking at what you do and they're seeing the beautiful images. So just kind of help us through with that balance, because sometimes as moms with little ones, we're just kind of, if I may be so bold, like it's easier to get distracted and look at your social media posts and do all these things
yeah.
than to say, oh, let me build character in my child by helping them because they're throwing a tantrum. Like it's so much easier to tune out and just look at things. How do you keep that as a mom balanced of feeding into your children, nourishing them, and still having that social media presence?
Oh, yeah, that is a great question. And I feel like that is like a ongoing like tension
right.
to manage for me.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that I've done that's just really practical, and I actually mentioned it in the book, is just making sure that for at least 1 hour of the day, we block out everything like
right.
that. And it's usually the first hour after they wake up and the first hour after they come home from school.
Mm.
And it's basically just making sure that they get fed, they get their needs met. And not to say we pull out the phones as soon as the hour's over, but
yeah.
we've just got that protected time so that they basically just know their worth. And I don't know, like, I just feel like they need that. And then if I
yes.
do have to get on my phone, it's not a fight because I've just spent an hour playing with them on the floor doing puzzles,
right.
you know, like they're
totally.
Not as needy at that point.
Yep.
So I think just making that the first part when they get home from school and the first part in the mornings has been really helpful and just like a good boundary. And I mean, I would love to stretch that time to
yeah.
more and more, but I feel like it just starting out, I would just encourage moms to just start there so that it's not overwhelming and you're not seeing like, wait, I can't be on my phone for 5 hours. Like, you know,
right.
that
yeah.
it could be a big hurdle. So start small and do whatever you can in the beginning and just make that time very protected.
And that is such a good habit, because if you have that, then that's that also. I was talking to someone recently that they said that was their habit, that when their high schooler came home, that they didn't work, they didn't have their phone out, they weren't looking at the computer, they weren't watching TV for that first hour. And even if that teenager said nothing to them, that teenager knew if I needed to talk to mom, like she's totally available to me. You know, it wasn't this
yeah.
message of I'm busy, you know. So I think that habit you're having while the kids are young, that's going to serve so well. And that's such good advice. I absolutely love that.
Well, and it's interesting to hear that in the older, you know, as they get older, just knowing like they might not even talk to you for, you know, for 30
right.
minutes of that, but to be available. I
yeah.
love hearing that. That's awesome.
Right. Because you might quit. You might think like, well, they don't talk
yeah.
to me anyway, so I might as well
yeah.
be working.
Exactly.
And then you don't realize that they're watching you and they know you're available and that means the world to them. And one of those times they'll tell you something super important that you wouldn't have heard if you were checking your Instagram, you know, instead. So it's so,
yeah.
I really like that. That's really good. My last question I wanted to ask you is just when a mom holds your book, Grumpy Mom Takes a Holiday, what should her expectations be? You know, when she's holding
yeah.
this, what do you hope for her when she's finished with the book?
Okay, so that is a great question. I think as we've been going through this with the launch team, what I'm learning is that it is, some things are going to be hard to hear. They're going to make you, you're going to read a chapter and maybe feel like the next few days you start to notice more grumpy mom moments in your life.
Right.
And it could be discouraging because you just feel like, man, I didn't realize I had so much. But this, like, we cannot make any changes unless we realize what the problem is. So mm-hmm. when you notice that, just know that there is hope at the end of that. And I think, like, the change is going to come a lot more naturally once we recognize those moments. Mm-hmm. So the middle is going to be messy.
Yeah.
But just the feedback that we're already getting is that it's already changing these little moments mm-hmm. in the day, and they're adding up. And it's not that, you know, like, we're never going to yell. Like, I still yell, and mm-hmm. like those moments happen, but they happen a lot less frequently.
Right.
And I'm able to bounce back a lot quicker. Like, it doesn't ruin the whole day. It yeah. is 5 minutes, and then I kind of can remind myself of some truth, and then we move on, and it right. doesn't have to be day ruining
yeah.
feelings. So I hope that makes sense.
That absolutely makes sense. Yeah, it's kind of like when you're going through a construction project and your kitchen's getting remodeled. It's not like, oh, fabulous, everything's all torn up, you know, great. But then
yeah.
once it gets torn up and it gets better, you're like, Why didn't I do this sooner? And so just to expect when we're making changes, sometimes that is messy, it's inconvenient, there are new habits to learn, but that it is totally worthwhile.
Yes. And you know, one other thing that we've heard is like you might even start to notice negativity around you more in motherhood. Mm-hmm. And my hope is that as we go through this book, we're able to lift other moms up in the process.
Yes, right.
But just in a very, very gentle way and a supportive way.
I am grateful for Valerie's message. You know, when that grumpy mom inside of us starts to rear her ugly head, we need to say, hey man, grumpy mom, you need to take a chill pill and take a holiday. And just to summarize a few of the things that stood out, I think, in this podcast, you know, fight the stereotype, the stereotypical mom who's just like at her wit's end, dragging along these sippy cups, dreaming of a day at Target. That is not you, my friend. Rediscover your high calling as a mom. See beyond the sippy cups and the crumbs. There's an importance of prayer in the everyday moments. In terms of social media, block out uninterrupted time with your kids. I like Val's suggestion about the 1 hour of wake-up time with your kids and then 1 hour after school to set that as a habit. And then notice those grumpy mom moments. And it might be a little messy in the middle as you notice that, but it will get better. If you'd like to find out more about Valerie Warner and her book, Grumpy Mom Takes a Holiday, you can buy it, of course, on Amazon and wherever books are sold. And you can also check out her website at valmariepaper.com. And if you need some additional help encouraging yourself as a parent, remember my book, Parents Rising, 8 Strategies for Raising Kids Who Love God, Respect Authority, and Value What's Right. Well, thanks so much for listening to this month's Happy Home Podcast. If you liked it, take a moment to review it on iTunes. That helps people to find us. And until next time, remember, you too can have a happy home.